Could China be ready to end its zero COVID strategy? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Unverified social media posts reportedly indicate a committee of some kind is being formed to discuss how to end the world's strictest COVID-19 mitigation measures in China. At a daily news conference today, China's foreign ministry said it's not aware of such moves, but just the rumor of any kind of easing in the policies that can suddenly impose lockdowns on millions have sent stock markets soaring. Hong Kong's Hang Seng surged 5.2%, while the Shanghai Composite rallied 2.6%, and the yuan rose from an almost 15-year low. The zero COVID strategy that aims to eliminate the virus in China has wreaked havoc, though, on the world's second biggest economy and the companies that operate there. Today, Toyota reported a 25% plunge in third quarter profits due in part to lockdowns and the supply chain disruption they've caused. And staff at the world's largest iPhone factory are now being promised big bonuses if they agree to stay locked down at work. The BBC's Stephen Ryan has more on that story.
Staff at the world's largest iPhone factory in central China have been promised quadrupled bonuses if they remain in their posts. The plant in Zhengzhou has been under a COVID lockdown since mid-October, and over the weekend, some of the 200,000 employees ran away amid allegations of poor working conditions and inadequate protection from the virus. Now, Foxconn, which operates the plant, says that from Tuesday, staff will get a daily $50 bonus for turning up to work and additional incentives to work a full month. I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
Well, checking some other numbers now, energy giant BP said this morning its third quarter profits were double that from a year ago. That's thanks in large part to soaring prices in the wake of Russia's Ukraine war and the supply disruptions that's caused. Nevertheless, the positive earnings results are giving oil shares a boost this morning, and that in turn is also sending European benchmarks up more than 1%. To Brazil now, where a government minister says President Jair Bolsonaro will address the nation in his first comments since he lost the weekend election to Lula da Silva. It's not known whether Mr. Bolsonaro will break his silence to accept the election results, as many in his camp have already done, or to challenge them. But truck drivers who support the president have been blocking major roadways to protest his defeat. That's prompted concerns for food supply chains and the wider economy. The BBC's Nick Miles has more from Rio de Janeiro.
25 states, that's practically all the states in this vast country, have hundreds of main roads blocked by these juggernauts. The Electoral Court has said that they're going to put a massive fine of $20,000 an hour if these trucks aren't removed. But so far, only about a quarter or so of the trucks have been removed. And it's a big deal because a lot of goods, agricultural produce, is transported around this country by the road. So that is making people worried. The growing worry, of course, is why is there such a delay from Mr. Bolsonaro? Could he be waiting to see what kind of popular reaction there is to his silence? Probably we will have a press conference and we will find out.
That's the BBC's Nick Miles reporting from Rio there. To Australia now, a country that sees nearly 3.5 tons of plastic thrown away each year. About 30% of that is single use. But now, in a bid to curb waste, discarded straws, cutlery, and some hair and face products are now banned in the country's most populous state, New South Wales. The BBC's Phil Mercer has more on that story.
Single-use plastics are filling our environment and killing our wildlife.
Images of a turtle choking on a plastic bag, a part of a new campaign to reduce waste in New South Wales. Its Minister for Environment, James Griffin, said the ban was just the start of a massive shift away from single-use plastic. He's predicted it would stop 2.7 billion items of plastic ending up as litter over the next 20 years. State authorities in Queensland and Victoria will bring in similar bans next year. Environmental campaigners have welcomed the laws, but have insisted much more needs to be done. Shane Kukow from the Australian Marine Conservation Society says recycling needs to be improved.
Australia is so far behind in terms of recycling our plastic packaging. And one of the big barriers there is soft plastics, which are very difficult to recycle. Only about 4% of soft plastics are recycled in Australia. We can build the recycling infrastructure that we need, but at the same time, we also just need to reduce the overall amount of plastic packaging that we're producing. I mean, right now we're on track to see the amount of plastic entering our oceans triple by 2040 unless action is taken to reduce our plastic consumption.
Polystyrene foam food containers are now banned under the new rules in Australia's most populous state, along with some face, body and hair products that contain plastic microbeads. Businesses that breach the regulations could face fines of tens of thousands of dollars.
That's the BBC's Phil Mercer there. The Soccer World Cup kicks off in about 3 weeks. Host country Qatar, though, has come under fierce criticism for its human rights record and difficult working environment. A new report from the International Labour Organization said on Tuesday, while there have been improvements on working and living conditions for hundreds of thousands of workers there, more efforts are needed. With critical reforms then still ongoing, the BBC's Samir Hashmi traveled to Doha to explore whether hosting the famed soccer tournament could help boost the nation's international image.
The 974 Stadium is one of the 8 venues gearing up to host the biggest soccer carnival. Qatar has invested a whopping $200 billion to host the tournament, making it by far the most expensive World Cup ever. And companies running resorts like the Marsa Malaz Kempinski are looking at this as an opportunity for the country to boost its image of being a business and tourism hub. Ibrahim Mayresh is the hotel's commercial director.
The hospitality projects that's going on, we have to showcase those projects now and market it as we speak so, you know, those spectators come back. So it drives the business for the future.
Most of the petrodollars were poured into infrastructure projects such as the new metro network and the construction of Lusail City, which will host the tournament final. The government has justified the massive expenditure by citing long-term benefits for the economy, especially tourism. Qatar is expecting 1.2 million visitors during the tournament, but it has set an ambitious goal of trebling its annual tourist numbers to 6 million by 2030. Qatar is also looking at this tournament as an opportunity to attract foreign direct investment worth billions of dollars as it tries to diversify its economy away from oil and gas, which account for nearly 70% of its revenues. But experts say the growing economic competition in the region is the biggest challenge.
A lot of the countries in the Gulf are trying to implement the same kind of reforms, diversify the economies. We've seen in the UAE, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar is playing in that game.
Scott Livermore is chief economist at Oxford Economics Middle East.
It's important that it continues to be reform-minded, important that the World Cup is not viewed as the end of achieving the goals.
The World Cup comes at a time when the region is witnessing an economic transformation. With the global spotlight on the tiny Gulf state, if Qatar can pull off a successful tournament, then that could propel its ambition of becoming a major financial hub on the global stage. In Doha, I'm the BBC's Samir Hashmi for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.